I want to begin our thoughts tonight from the reading in Mark chapter 9. We certainly do appreciate the presence of all. Encourage each one to follow along, listen carefully as we open God's Word and study from it tonight. As Mark chapter 9 was read, what we saw was, first of all, faith lacking on the part of the disciples of Jesus. Secondly, we see Jesus asking the father of the young man who had a dumb spirit, "Do you believe?" And his response was, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." What I want to do tonight is to talk about ways in which we can grow in our faith. And I hope that each of us realizes the need to increase our faith, just as this father. He had faith, "Lord, I believe," he says, but he also says, "Help thou my unbelief." There's little value in recognizing our need for faith unless we know how to obtain it. So I want us to talk about helping us know the means by which our faith can grow. Before we do that, let me just talk about some knots. The idea of the source of faith has been greatly misunderstood and abused. If you know anything about Calvinism and the tenets, the teaching of Calvinism, some of the teachings of Calvinism is the fact that a person is totally depraved, and because of that, God must cause someone to believe. Well, God is the source of faith, but that's not to say that God creates faith in the heart of an individual with no will or desire on the part of that individual. If that were so, everyone would believe. I think of the statement made in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, where Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If the Lord acted upon man without man having any part to do with it, that is, in creating faith within man, then every man would believe. Every man would be saved. Or I think about the statement made in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, when Paul is talking about God, the fact that He desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And what all of that says is this: God is the source of faith, but man plays a part in that. And what we want to do to begin with is to determine how God has designed to create faith in the hearts of unbelievers. And so let's just begin there. Let's talk about how God has designed to create faith in the unbeliever. I'm going to turn to about six different passages. They'll be on the screen. And in these passages, we see how God has designed to create faith in our lives, in our hearts, as well as in the lives of others. In John chapter 4, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And in verse 39, the Bible says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." We read and understand from this passage that faith can be built within someone by hearing Jesus speak. Somebody said, "Well, we can't hear Jesus speak." Well, that is true in the sense that we cannot hear Him audibly or verbally like this woman heard Jesus speak. But there are other sources that bring faith. In John chapter 17, in verse 20, as Jesus was praying for His apostles, He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And so Jesus points out here that belief, faith can come through hearing the apostles' word. Somebody says, well, they're dead. And that's right. The apostles are dead. And we can't hear them again speak audibly. But the question is, can we believe without actually hearing the words from their lips? Let's look at another passage. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus had shown Himself to Thomas. And after showing Himself to Thomas, and Thomas pointing out the fact that he believed, Jesus says in verse 30, or it is said of Jesus in verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And so faith or belief can be created through reading the things that we have written in God's Word. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. Concerning Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. What that passage tells us is that through, that is, Paul and Barnabas, through speaking in an effective way or in such a way, it caused those who heard to believe. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. Here is the discussion that took place in Jerusalem concerning circumcision. And verse 7 says, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. And so Peter just points out here that through hearing His words, faith or belief could be increased or had in the minds of others. And then finally, I want us to look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so here are at least six different ways that God has designed to create faith in the unbeliever, as well as to increase faith among those who believe. Through hearing Jesus speak, through the apostles' word, through reading things that are written, through speaking in such a way to cause to believe, through Peter's mouth, through hearing the Word of God. Now, we've gone through that rather quickly. But it shouldn't be surprising to us that most everything that we believe comes about by what we have heard or what we have been told. Now you just think about that for a minute. Most everything that we believe comes about by what we have heard or what we've been told. And that shouldn't be surprising to us. I think of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1, simply saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me illustrate it this way. I've never been to London, England. I believe that there is a London, England. There are other people who tell me they have been there. And they've told me, I have some relatives who have been there, they've told me some things about London. But you know, I've never seen it. But because of what they have told me and what they have seen and what they have experienced, I believe that it exists. But my belief is based on the fact that that's what I have been told by others. When we trust others, when we put our trust in people, then what happens is we hear and we see and we believe. And that's the way God has designed for us to have faith and to increase our faith. The source of faith has always been through the Word. Hearing the Word and reading the Word. And so what that says is this. If we are serious about wanting more faith, then we'll be serious about Bible study. Because that's how faith is developed. If a person never reads the Bible, if a person never studies the Bible, if a person never meditates on what God's Word teaches, trying to remember what it teaches, then we're just fooling ourselves. And we can talk about faith all that we want to, but if we never study God's Word, then what we'll have is a misguided faith. And unfortunately, that is the case with so many people today. They talk about having faith, but they don't know what God's Word teaches. They may listen to what someone else says that it teaches, but they have not verified what God's Word teaches. And thus, so many people have a misguided faith. We cannot know God's will unless we have read from God's Word. Jeremiah makes this statement in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. I can't figure it out myself. I just do not have that capability. Add to that what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I can't think like God. As a matter of fact, the way Isaiah describes it, as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's the difference in my thoughts and God's thoughts. Such a vast, vast difference. And so the things that we do by faith are things that we are taught in God's Word. The source of faith is the Word of God. And we cannot grow in faith without studying God's Word. I want to spend just a little bit of time, and I want us to talk about some aids that will help us in increasing our faith. And these aids can increase our faith provided we go back to the source. The studying of God's Word is absolutely essential. And some of these other things may not be essential, but they're aids. They help in increasing our faith. Let me just mention three. One aid to the increasing of our faith is associating with men of faith. One reason we have the Bible describing faithful people is so that we can know about faithful people. And we can learn about faithful people. And we can be encouraged as we read about these people. And as we associate with people who are of faith, what that does is that it aids us in increasing our faith. As Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want to read verse 6, which kind of helps us with the setting. Verse 6 says, But now that Timothy has come to us, that is to Paul and others, from you, and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. So the setting is, Paul had been with the Thessalonians. And now he has come back to Paul and he's brought a good report. He's telling Paul of their faith and their love. And then when you come down to verse 10 says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. If we were in a Bible class, I would ask this question. Don't answer. The question would be, why did Paul want to see them face to face? He wanted to complete, perfect what was lacking in their faith. His association with them, his being able to teach them, to instruct them, that would help in increasing their faith. And what we realize from that is the kind of people with whom we associate will have a lot to do with our attitude toward everything. We studied 1 Corinthians 15 in our Bible class this morning in the auditorium. And in that setting of the resurrection and Paul talking about the resurrection and the evidence of the resurrection and the fact that our hope rests in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there were those who were teaching that Christ had not been raised. Paul says in verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In light of everything that Paul had said concerning the resurrection and pointing out the evidence of the resurrection and the fact that if Christ had not been raised, then we would be of all men most pitiable. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And what we know from that is this. The kind of people we run with affect the way we think. And we talked just briefly about evil company. And the idea, at least that I understand, as Paul is talking about company, it's more than just a casual passing by. So here's someone that we company with. And you think about evil, and I doubt that many of us would want to think that we have friends who are evil. And so I just ask, what is evil? Well, that's sin. Anyone who would think or teach something different from what God's Word teaches, that person is evil. And Paul says that evil company will corrupt good habits. That's the importance, or that tells us the importance of associating with people of faith. That helps us. That aids us in increasing our faith. As we go about in our daily lives, if we are looking up, you know what others are going to be doing? They're going to be looking up too. If we go about our lives and we're looking down, you know what others are going to be doing who are around us? They're going to be looking down too. And from I don't know the right word to use here, metaphorical sense, that can be a great, great problem. If we're living life and we're walking around and we're thinking in human terms, we're looking down trying to figure things out based on what humans might suggest, rather than looking up to God, then we're going to have difficulty solving problems. The problems that we need solved. The things, as Peter would say, that pertain to life and godliness. We have to be people who are looking up, who are looking to God, who are looking to Jesus for the answers to the problems that we face. And sometimes we may find ourselves and we may not even think of God at all. we spend our time trying to figure out how to solve a problem, where if we would just, if God was in the equation, it would be much easier to solve. In Hebrews 11:25, we're told this concerning Moses, a man of faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses had a choice. His choice was he could enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, or he could suffer, he could choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm going to ask you this. Don't answer. What do you think people of the world thought about Moses when he made that choice? I imagine they thought, that man, he's crazy. I mean, here he could enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. But he's chosen rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. If Moses had associated entirely with wicked people, I am convinced that he would have never made the choice that he made. And that's the reason it's so important that we associate with people who are people of faith, so that they can help us to grow in our faith, to increase in our faith. Counselors have an effect upon us. If a counselor is of the world, then they will be faithless. And the counsel that they give will be based on human wisdom. If a counselor has respect for God and His Word, then they'll look to God as they give advice. The psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And it doesn't matter what the problem is. Godly people base their decisions on God's Word. Whatever the problem is. If it has to do with worship, if it has to do with the work of the church, if it has to do with family problems, godly people, people of faith, make their decisions based on what God's Word teaches. And so if we associate with people of faith, then it will help us to increase our faith in God. It'll help us to trust God's way is right, whether it looks right or not. Because people of faith are going to trust what God says. And it doesn't have to make sense to someone who trusts in God. That's really beside the point. If God says it, we know that it's right, and that is the best thing. And that's one of the reasons we need to assemble like we've done tonight. Every opportunity we have, we need to be together. I need to be here. I need the encouragement that I receive from others. That's the reason we need to have people of faith in our homes. That's the reason we encourage our children to choose faithful mates. That way we can share our faith. And we can grow in faith. Let me suggest a second aid to the increase of our faith, and that is the trying of our faith, the testing of our faith. James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Now, you know, we understand that in physical realm. We understand that if we want to build muscles, what we have to do is we have to exercise our bodies. No pain, no gain. You just have to put yourself through it. And as you do that, what happens is you become stronger and stronger physically. And we become stronger spiritually when our faith is tested and we pass the test. Maybe a good question for each of us to ask ourselves is this: what kind of attitude do I have toward the testing of my faith? If my faith is about to be tested, do I run from it? Now, I'm not suggesting that we just walk into something willingly. But we shouldn't run from the test. Here is an opportunity for us to increase our faith, for us to become stronger. And as parents, we can help our children in that. Sometimes our children face circumstances, or here is a decision that has to be made, or here is an opportunity to stand and do right. And we need to encourage our children in doing that. I'll even go a step further than that. As they're young, we need to insist that they do that. And they learn from that. And we're not ashamed to take a stand for what is right. And we grow stronger spiritually when we do that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If people say all kinds of evil against us falsely for the sake of the Lord, if people revile us, if people persecute us, guess what? We're not the first ones. And what Jesus says is, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And then what he says next is, you're just like those who were faithful before, the prophets. Let me suggest a third aid to the increase of our faith, and that is by making commitments. By putting something into God's hands. You know, it may be that we may never have really committed anything to God's hands. We talked just briefly in our Bible class this morning about the Apostle Paul. Think about the commitment that Paul made. How Paul, in essence, put his life, he committed his life into the hands of God. And that's what we have to do. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to make a commitment to God. And when we commit ourselves to God, that we're going to be faithful to Him, come what may. Tell you what it does to our faith. It makes our faith stronger. I think about the Macedonians and what is said of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. "And not only as we had hoped, but they," that is the Macedonians, "first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Once we give ourselves to the Lord, that's where our treasures are, and that's where our heart will be. And our faith grows as we make that commitment. Let me end this way. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, the question is asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" I can't answer for anyone. You can't answer for anyone. We can only answer for ourselves. And with the Lord's help, my answer is yes. My prayer is that He will find faith in me. And not just me, but in you and in others. May the Lord help us to grow in faith. Let's make sure we associate with men of faith. Through the trying of our faith, let's not run from it, but understand that it will help us grow and by making commitments, committing our life to Christ. We have started a new year. And surely the goal of each one of us is to increase our faith as we live each day. And may the Lord help us as we study His Word and we read what is written and we hear the words that Jesus spoke and other men of faith spoke that we have recorded. Understanding that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that our faith will multiply. And in turn, we can be an encouragement to others as well. We're going to sing the song that has been suggested. It may be that someone present tonight in a public way needs to render obedience to the gospel of Christ. If we can assist you in doing that in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.